This is VOA News. I'm Marissa Melton. Syrian President Bashar al-Assad made his first televised address since the onset of last week's deadly earthquake that killed thousands of people in the northern part of the country. He said Thursday that the scale of the disaster and the things that must be done are much greater than available resources. A boy was pulled from earthquake rubble in Hatay, Turkey, in the early hours of Friday morning after surviving for 260 hours. Rescue teams worked through the night, holding lights and filming the rescue and applauding as the youngster was lifted to safety on a stretcher. The quake has killed at least 36,187 people in southern Turkey. Authorities in neighboring Syria have reported 5,800 deaths, a figure that has changed little in recent days. Neither Turkey nor Syria have said how many people are still missing. Michigan State Police said Thursday that the suspect in this week's Michigan State University shootings carried with him a note indicating he felt slighted by former co-workers and others. It was a possible clue to a motive for a shooting that left three students dead and five others injured at the college late on Monday. A police spokesman told reporters at a news briefing Thursday that officials aren't sure what prompted 43-year-old Anthony Dwayne McRae to open fire on the university campus. McRae died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound after he was later confronted by police. He had no known connection to the university. And two people died Thursday in clashes between anti-junta protesters and security forces in Guinea, according to a municipal official. This is VOA News. Another disappointing inflation report has thumped Wall Street. AP correspondent Lisa Dwyer reports on the results.
Stocks fell by the most in 4 weeks following more evidence that high inflation is staying stickier than expected. The S&P dropped 1.4% after a report said inflation at the wholesale level slowed by less last month than economists had forecast. It echoed a report on prices at the consumer level from earlier this week that suggested inflation isn't cooling as quickly and as smoothly as hoped. The Dow was down 431 points or 1.3%, while the Nasdaq dropped 1.8%. Stocks have been churning recently as worries about persistently high inflation could push the Federal Reserve to get even more aggressive on interest rates. While higher rates can drive down inflation, it can also put pressure on investment prices and raise the risk of a serious recession. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Doctors declared U.S. President Joe Biden, who is 80 years old, healthy and fit for duty on Thursday after a physical examination that included removing a lesion from his chest and declaring him free of symptoms of long COVID after he tested positive last year for the coronavirus. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
As you just mentioned, the president has his physical this morning. It was very much the exam was straightforward. And as you all saw, he returned to the White House to get back to work.
The exam was closely watched as Biden prepares for his expected run for a second term in the presidency in 2024. The UK's main opposition leader, Keir Starmer, met with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky in Kyiv on Thursday. The Labour Party leader met Zelensky after a visit to Irpin and Bucha on the capital's outskirts, where numerous atrocities, including killings, were documented in the aftermath of the Russian withdrawal. The United States is imposing visa restrictions on five people and seven family members related to street gangs and criminal organizations in Haiti. This, according to Secretary of State Antony Blinken on Thursday. In a statement, he said the action sends a clear message of the United States' continued commitment to root out corruption and impact the behavior of bad actors whose influence underpins the lawlessness in Haiti. The State Department also announced Thursday that it condemns Nicaragua's decision to strip nationality from 94 of its citizens and the revocation of citizenship from 222 political prisoners that Managua released last week. Colombia and Venezuela on Thursday signed an agreement to revive trade between the two countries. This happened during a ceremony on a border bridge. Both the Colombian president, Gustavo Petro, and Venezuela's president, Nicolas Maduro, signed the document. More at our website, voanews.com. From Washington, I'm Marissa Melton, VOA News.